Anyway, I'm going to be preaching from Isaiah tonight, from the prophet Isaiah, from passage chapter 6, 1 to 8. Before we get into it, I just want to pray. So, God, I just thank you that you've just got all of us here together, Lord. And I just pray that your word would just speak to us all individually and as a church, God. I pray that your word would inspire us and encourage us, God, and challenge us where needs be, God. Most of all, I pray that by your Spirit and by your word that you would change us, God, because we don't want to leave this place the same, God. We want to be transformed more into your image day by day. So, God, we just ask that your Spirit would be here and that your word would speak to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, like I said, I want to preach from Isaiah, but my message actually sort of came to me out of my daily devotionals. Daily devotionals are a fantastic thing. So I actually went out and bought, this is the one I read. It's called Solo. It's a Message Bible Remix daily devotional. And I've got this one here. I've got another one at home. So does anyone want a daily devotional that doesn't have one at the moment? Molly had her hand up first. Well done. Get into this. This is a brilliant book. It is a brilliant book. Let God just read you as you read that book and it will change your life, seriously. So yeah. So get a daily devotional if you don't have one, because they are wicked. I have two. That's one of them. My other one's a one-year Bible plan where I break it through one day at a time. I think it's good to get big chunks in you and also good just to meditate on small bits. So maybe get both. But anyway, I'll get into the Word of God now. As I said, I'm going to be reading from Isaiah 6 in the Message Bible, and it says this in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Master sitting on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robes filled the temple. Angel seraphim hovered above him, each with six wings. Two wings they covered their faces, with two their feet, and with two they flew. And they called back and forth one to the other, "Holy, holy, holy is the God of the angel armies. His bright glory fills the whole earth." The foundations trembled at the sound of the angels' voices, and then the whole house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Doom! It's doomsday! I'm as good as dead. Every word I've ever spoken is tainted. Blasphemous even, and the people I live with talk the same way, using words that corrupt and desecrate. And here I've looked God in the face, the King, God of the angel armies." Then one of the angel seraphim flew to me. He held a live coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with the coal and said, "Look, the coal has touched your lips, gone your guilt, your sins are wiped away." And then I heard the voice of the Master say, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I spoke up, "I'll go. Send me." That's an amazing passage of scripture. Isaiah in the Old Testament is one of probably the most influential prophets. It's amazing, amazing book to read. So I encourage you, if you've never actually got into Isaiah, open it up. And seriously, it's phenomenal, some of the stuff that's in there. So get into it. And this encounter with God was right near the start of his ministry with Israel. So like, it's pretty pivotal pivotal moment in the life of Isaiah. So tonight I want to talk about our response, and what is our response to when we have received God or received vision from God. So here in Isaiah we quite clearly see how the prophet responds after encountering the Master. So he had a vision, and it was a pretty crazy vision at that. Like, you know, he's standing there and there's these six-winged angels flapping about, yelling so loudly, declaring how holy God is, that the actual floor is trembling and smoke's rising. And Isaiah, standing there, realizes just how unworthy he is and concludes it actually must be his end, because he shouldn't be allowed to stand in the presence of such perfection and God Almighty. But in stark contrast, an angel comes to him holding this blazing hot coal and sears away his sin. And in that moment where Isaiah's sins have been wiped away and forgiven, the Lord God, God Almighty, speaks up and says, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah's first thing he says is just, "I'll go, send me." Now, so what's the first thing you say when you come to things like that? I remember when I was in New Zealand about a year and a half ago, it's a bit different, but I went on a thing called a canyon swing, which is a bit like a bungee jump, but it's just fun as. Like, it was a 60-metre free fall, and then you like fling out across this canyon. But I was freaked out. Like, I was standing on the edge of this thing, laying backwards and looking over, going, "Oh my gosh, that's so far down." And the first thing I said when I fell backwards was, "Oh my God!" And like, but like, I just yelled it over and over and over again. And the guy dragged me back up and said, "Geez, you Tassie blokes are quite spiritual fellows, aren't you?" And I was just like, "Yeah." But like, You know, that was the first thing I cried out. And we need to work out what is the first thing we cry out when we have moments or encounters or something that's crazy happened to us. What is the first thing we cry out? Sorry. Caught my tongue. So in this season, we're preaching on mission or being sent. You know, as a ministry team, we're encouraging you guys, the church, and ourselves to have a missional sort of perspective when we preach, that we impart something upon you guys, that when you go out, you can take something tangible, something real, take the reality that's in you and share it in a life-changing and real way to the people in your world, like your friends, your family, or just whoever the Holy Spirit leads you to speak to. And last day, Pastor Dave shared an awesome message about being a vessel and just continuing to pour yourself out and continue to overflow in it. And like, I'll just encourage you guys just to continue just to take what we speak here and take what you have in your life groups and stuff like that and just take it into your life and just continue to pour it out. Because as you pour it out, you know, God's going to continue to top you up. In Luke 10, in the New Living Translation, it says, "Then when they were alone," this is Jesus talking to his disciples, "he turned to his disciples." And if we're Christians, we're pretty much disciples of Christ. So Jesus turned to us and said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you have seen. And I tell you, many prophets have longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they never heard it." You see, people want to hear good news. People want to hear what you guys have heard. That's just the way it is. Like Dave last week, it was actually leadership. People love biographies. People love books that talk about people because people are interesting. So people want to hear what's happening in your life. And Christ was saying this to his disciples. Christ was saying, people want to hear about the revelation you've received about me, about who I am. And likewise, you guys here tonight, many of us here are Christians. What you have inside of you is one of the most amazing things this world has ever known. Actually, it is the most amazing thing this world has ever known. I should correct myself there. And people want to hear truth. People want to hear good news. So let me encourage you just to in this season of mission, just to get involved with things of mission in this church and get involved in the areas where you can constantly and continue to share, either by deed, either doing it by action or speaking it out. In church at the moment, through CareForce, there's opportunities to speak there and encourage people and reveal Christ to them in that way. If you want to get involved with what's going on in New Norfolk, I'm heading up a youth centre up there, which is going to be fantastic. I'm really pumped, so I continue to be praying for that. But if you want an opportunity where you can come up and encourage people and share the love of Christ through your actions and stuff, talk to me. Likewise, Anna King's heading up stuff for this community here in Belle Reve. So if you want to hear some exciting vision and about what mission we're doing in our community right here, talk to Anna King and she'll be, you know, happy to share with you the exciting things that we've got planned coming up. So, you know, let me just encourage you that it's not just about this season of mission. We want to try to impart that mission into our hearts. So it's such a core thing that's actually just second nature to us. It's actually just part of who we are. So I just encourage you guys just to continue to just receive this revelation and just get it in there. So anyway, we'll bring it back to Isaiah as I started. What was the first thing that happened to Isaiah? What was the very first thing? The very first thing he had was an encounter. It was a vision. It was a tangible experience. And, you know, this is where it all starts. And it was a pretty epic one at that age. Like I said, you know, there was angels and it was just crazy. And I personally believe, as us, we're disciples of Christ as well. And we have the ability to step into God's throne room really at any time if we're hungry and thirsty for Him. If we humble ourselves and become desperate for Him and hunger and thirst for Him, then, you know, He will open up our eyes that we can see where He's calling us to be. In Acts 2:17, it says, "In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy and your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." And this is true. Like, I've been a Christian for about 2.5 years. And in my time, thus far, You know, I reckon I can say there's probably about four or five times where I can clearly say God was evident and that I had an encounter with him, or I felt a presence or a peace so tangible that I just can't deny that it was him, that it wasn't him. You know, we're not all going to have visions of the magnitude of Isaiah, unless you're really, really desperate for him, then it wouldn't surprise me. I've once had a vision, and that almost scared the bejeebies out of me, but like, you know, you read it in the Bible. Any of you guys like this? You read it in the Bible and it says, okay, you can have visions. And you read it and think, okay, I can have visions. So you read it and think, okay, I'll seek God and try to get a vision. But you sort of doubt it. Like, you're sort of like, oh, nah, it's just in the Bible. It's not really. I've had that happen before, and I was there and I thought, nah, stuff it. I'm just going to continue to pray and seek God 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 and seek God. Fast. Seek God, seek God, seek God. Pray some more. Read the Bible. And then I had this vision and it almost freaked the hell out of me. But like, I wasn't expecting it, but I was expecting it. So let me just encourage you guys. I can share it with you another time what that vision was. It was just something about, like, I was actually searching for God's calling on my life and he revealed it to me. And yeah, so just humble yourself, seek God, and seriously, as you do that, you'll either receive vision or you'll just get such a peace and clarity over what you are thinking that you're like, yep, that's God's hand upon it. So open yourself up, give him a chance. Don't go in with a preconceived idea. Point two. So point one was he had an encounter. The second thing that happened to Isaiah, he had a revelation of how unworthy he was. We see Isaiah's response as he stands in the throne room of God and he says, doom, it's doomsday, I'm as good as dead. Every word I've ever spoken is tainted, blasphemous even, and the people I live with are the same way, using words that corrupt and desecrate. And here I am who have seen God in the face, the King and God of angel armies. And, you know, we're literally kidding ourselves if we can think when we die or when we're raptured, you know, I'm not sure which one's going to come first, that we're going to be able to stand in the presence of God with our heads held high on what we've done and the words we've spoken alone. If we think we can merit ourselves by our actions and our good deeds, then, you know, Isaiah was a pretty good prophet up till that point, and even he realized that he fell far short from God's glorious standard. You know, because the Ten Commandments are pretty much impossible, but thank Christ that he fulfills the law and that we can be reconciled through him. You know, and in my 20 years of experience at living, I can't say I've been able to manage to keep all of them thus far, and I don't know if all you guys have, and you know, I watch people like Brendan Favola and Andrew Simons, and even when they get told time and time and time and time again, do not drink, they somehow continue to do it, and now we're losing the cricket. So he does. He's not a bad footy player still. But like, yeah, and then on the other side, you know, you have people like Bono or Barack Obama, and you know, even though they look like great people, still they stuff up occasionally. So don't worry, we all fall short. But some do it more frequently than the others. Some do it and don't realise, and some do it and don't care. But some do it, they realise and they care and they want to change. And that's where we need to be. Us as Christians, us who have seen the light, who have seen the truth, who know God, we have to be in this last bracket. We stuff up, but we've got to realise we stuff up, and we've got to care and care about what God thinks about it, and go, God, I'm sick of this, change me please. And humble ourselves and allow him just to put his hand upon it and change it. So we need to live lives that act upon what we've received. Point number three. Point number three. So number one was he had an encounter. Number two was Isaiah had a revelation of how unworthy he was. And number three is his sin and guilt were wiped away. Praise God. How awesome is that? Isaiah thought he was pretty much stuffed. We read that by what he said. He had almost no hope. He thought he was doomed. He thought he was going to get probably smited on the spot. but, you know, it didn't happen. In contrast, like I said, an angel came down to him with a blazing hot coal and seared away his sin. And, you know, what a relief. Imagine standing there and you're thinking, oh my God, I'm just about to get destroyed. And then then on the contrary, an angel comes and says, no, here you go, we forgive you sort of thing. Like, what a relief, what good news. You know, and everyone who's here who's, you know, given their hearts or their lives to Christ through prayer can testify to that same thing. You know, we've all realised how unworthy we are, and with God's same grace through Jesus Christ, and out of his heart that loves us, our sins have been wiped away. That's pretty much the gospel. That's pretty much the good news. Yeah. And we've got to realize that, you know, grace is a gift. It's not something we earn, so, you know, but it's an amazing gift at that. And if Christ was willing to give it to us and lay it down all for us, then maybe we should have a similar sort of attitude. And that brings us to our fourth point. That's our response. So what's the first thing we cry out? As I said, the first thing I cried out when I started falling 60 metres towards an exhilarating end was, oh my God, oh my God. The first thing Isaiah cried out when he was in this moment of epic encounter was, oh, go send me. And I want to say, is this your response tonight? Is that your response to when God redeems you and sets you free of your past after you've been showered with grace and love? What is your response? Or do we sit back and say, well, you've done that for us now. What else can you do for me? It's like, what more do you want? What more do you want than the gift of salvation and being set free from all your guilt and shame? You know, we need to be the ones that respond with, I'll go, send me. You know, it would have been, you know, and like, I haven't seen all of it. I haven't understood and knew everything, but I've known enough that I can start now. And I just know we can work the rest out on the way. You know, he had that little bit of revelation and then just said, yep, I'm for you completely now. He could have sat back and said, okay, teach me now, because he would have known. He was a prophet. He would have known all the scriptures from the Old Testament and Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and all the blah, 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 blah. He could have sat back and said, okay, tell me how all of these work out. And likewise, we could sit back and say, okay, go through the entire Bible and through all the problems and mysteries in the world. Tell us that, and then I'll start going. No, on the other hand, he just received the gift of salvation, had his guilt and shame wiped away, and just said, that's enough for me. I'll go from there. The rest can be worked out on the way. And that's the attitude we need to have. How are we doing, guys? You all well? Good, fantastic. I'm really thirsty tonight. Oh, yeah. Surfing, I didn't go surfing, though. I wanted to. My mouth just was parched at the thought of it, though, I reckon. Yeah, I reckon. Off the topic now, I love my segues. Recently, I did my first all-nighter. Who loves doing all-nighters? Yeah, got one person, love it. You know, I generally don't. Like, I do a lot of late nights and then early mornings. Like, I do, like, this week I had four times where I stayed up over midnight and then got up by before six generally. So I was like, oh, it's just ridiculous. You shouldn't do it. It's not good for you. But the other day I did my first all-nighter, and, like, it was good fun because it was for Red Frog Chaplaincy. Anyone heard of them? Yeah. Now, they're good things, but they were doing some stuff at the uni. And Grant Medwin asked me if I wanted to get involved, and I said, yeah, sure thing, I'll go. I didn't really know what I was getting into, but I said, yep, I'll go there regardless. So anyway, we had an awesome night. I had to start at, was it 10 o'clock p.m. and go all the way through to 8 a.m. in the morning, looking after and speaking to drunk people and just generally being a good influence sort of thing. But it was really good because I ran into some mates that I hadn't seen for a long time and got to share with them what I was doing and why I was doing it and about God and stuff like that. So it was just a great door that opened up for me just because I stepped on the front foot and said, yeah, sure thing, I'll go. But at about 4 a.m., a guy came over to me and started to quiz me. He came up and said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I've got a chocolate fondue set here with strawberries and marshmallows. You can eat them, so we're doing that. We've got tea and coffee, and he said, no, what are you doing? And I was just like, didn't you just hear me? We got lollies, we got, and we're just giving it away just to something. And he's just like, no, man, like, don't you have something better to do? And I sort of started to see where he was probably going to be going with this, and he started talking about creation and against evolution and stuff like that, and he was saying that he enjoys, who's that atheist bloke who wrote all those books, The God Delusion and stuff like that, Dawkins and stuff like that, and started just going into that sort of thing. And, you know, it came down to him. I was just talking with him for probably about 20 minutes, and I said, he just kept on trying to quiz me with these things, and I said, look, I don't know all the answers to all those things, creation and evolution, I don't really care, God could have done it either way. And he's just like, how can you say that? And I was just like, well, the fact of the matter is that's the case. He could have done it either way, and I'm not too fazed about it. What I do know, though, is I've encountered God, and I can go from there, and I can work the rest out on the way. So you know, it's not about trying to work out all the mysteries and understand what all everything is. It's about once you've received that first bit, you start walking from there and you start living by faith and just trust God that He'll give you the words to speak and will and reveal it to you when the time comes where you actually do need it. Because we don't need to know everything. In a world that wants to know everything, you know, we've got Facebook and Twitter, people want to know when people are doing poos, for God's sake. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that at the pulpit, I apologise. but that's the case. Like, it's just ridiculous. We don't need to know everything. So just go on what you have known and just go from there. 1 Corinthians 13. I just love the way they did that. And, you know, as it comes down to the end there, it talks about when I was a child. I used to act like a child. I used to think like a child. But I put my childish ways behind me when I became a man. And that's the same as us as Christians today. When we become Christians, when we give our lives to Christ, we're putting that old life behind, those childish ways behind, and stepping into the hard life of being a man or a woman and walking in the revelation in the light of what we've seen by faith, hope and love. And the greatest of these being love. Because in the end, you know, love supersedes it all. You know, we're living by faith and in hope today. But when we step into eternity, you don't need faith and hope. It's just love left over. It's just you and the Father. So let's put our childish ways behind us. In Romans 5:8, it says, He loved us when we were dead in our transgressions, when we were still sinners. And likewise, Christ calls us to love the least of these. In Matthew 25, He talks about loving the captives, the blind, and the downtrodden. He loved us when we were the least of these, when we were, you know, sinners. And we've got to have that missional sense of there's people out there that are broken and hurting. And we've got to love like God, because we're made in His image, to go out to those broken people and share a truth, share the gospel, share the good news in a relevant and life-changing way, in a way that, you know, reveals Christ's love for us to them. So as God says, who will go for us? What's our call? Like, I don't know what God wants each and every single one of you to do. But He is calling, hey, who's going to step up to the plate for me? And let me encourage you guys, you know, don't worry about it. In 1 Corinthians 13 it says, even though I don't know all the mysteries or all the knowledge in the world, no, sorry, if I had all the knowledge in the world and knew all the mysteries but didn't have love, it would gain me nothing. So likewise, don't wait until you've got all your affairs in order. Don't wait until you've done your Bible, your degree, or read through the Bible once and then received some awesome revelation. No, you've received what you need. You've received that little thing you need. You've received grace. You've received life. You've received eternal life. You've received Christ. You've received salvation. That is all you need to be able to go and say, yes, I'll go, send me. Because that's all Isaiah had received. He hadn't received all this other stuff. He just received that and said, yep, that's enough for me. So on that same merit, let me encourage you, my brothers and sisters, my church, you guys are awesome. Actually, I this is just off topic a little bit. I was standing down the front and I just stopped singing. I just listened to you guys sing. And, you know, a lot of time we say well done to the guys up here. But I just want to say well done to you guys. You guys sounded really good tonight. Just keep on singing. I just love it. If the band wants to join me, let us be the Isaiah generation. Let this church be known for its attitude of, I'll go send me, regardless of what's going on, that we just step out in the front foot. We don't need to know all the ins and outs of everything. We can just step boldly, live a life that honours God, glorifies God, that shares good news, that heals the brokenhearted, that reaches out to those that are downtrodden and hurting. And like Christ, we lift them up and cradle them. We love them and we show them the love of Christ in a real way. So let me just encourage you guys. Just, as we go into a time of worship, to press into God, to draw near to Him, to expect Him, to expect to receive vision, to expect to receive guidance, to expect to receive His grace. You know, if there's problems, if there's things that, you know, like Isaiah saying that he felt his mouth was just continually sinning, if there's something that you feel like you've been falling short of God's standards, just open it up to God, and God, through the love of Christ, will come down and wipe it all away. He loves you so much, and He doesn't want you to stay in that place. He wants to clean you of it so you can step out and be salt and light in this place, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in Hobart, to be the difference. You know, God's calling each and every single one of you, whether you're in a high school, whether you're at a morgue. You know, it doesn't matter where you're at, God's calling you. Huh? I know, just can't help it. Sorry, Simon. Where is Simon? Show's good on, mate. Nah, alright. Anyway, that aside, we're just going to wipe those last 5 seconds away. Press into God and just expect Him. So I just want to pray for all you guys, if that's alright. And then as we worship Him, just open yourselves up and just receive what God wants you to receive. And then go out of this place knowing that you've been sent, that God is with you, that He's for you, and that His love never fails.